Are you a tech head or a video gamer? If so, be sure to tune in to the Cyber Den, your weekly dose of tech and games. Treat yourself with the latest news, interviews, some great music, and much more. After all, it's approved by
me, Duke Nukem,
Kane from Command and Conquer,
Agent 47,
Colonel Roy Campbell,
and more. So join me, Jake,
and his sidekick, Aston,
on the Cyber Den, every Wednesday from 10 till 12, only on Siren FM 107.3. Game on.
This is Siren FM.
The old statement that parents are difficult to bring into the world probably resonates even more with a recent survey that's produced by Allianz Insurance in terms of the relations between parents and their offspring, specifically embarrassing parents. What the hey, to address the range of embarrassing parent moments and indeed a number of other factors, we're delighted to welcome that ace writer extraordinaire and indeed Top Gear presenter, the best one that ever was. It has to be Jason Barlow. How are you, Jason?
Oh, well, the check's in the post, Alex. Thanks very much.
We only call them as we see them, quite rightly so. Anyway, moving on to this particular research that's released today by Allianz Insurance. It seems that that right that some parents actually have to embarrass their children is still being carried on well into the 21st century.
Well, if I speak from personal experience, I can completely confirm that. I sometimes, I have a 12-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son, so I really do know of what I speak. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole range of things. This research has thrown up a whole list of things that I think anyone who's been a child or a parent, that's the interesting thing. You go from you go from one to the other, and you go, how did that happen? And suddenly you've become that thing that you were when you were younger.
It's when you actually start wearing the baseball cap backwards, and you start saying "Izora" in it. You realise it's not going to work. Really, it's just sad. Really.
Well, I do have some baseball caps. Occasionally they go on. No, I mean the thing I do, I love pop music, and I'm always wibbling on to my kids about how the top 40 isn't as good as it used to be, and they hate that. And what they hate even more is me singing, and that's one of the things that's on this list. There's a whole load of other ones like burping, but you know, I don't know about you, but I try not to do that in front of the kids.
Well, burping, of course, not good. Flatulence, even worse, and I'm not sure whether that actually sort of works into the whole system. Obviously, dad dancing. I think Ricky Gervais had kind of set a whole scenario here with respect to dad dancing. But I do like the phrasing of this, that 49% of those surveyed actually said that in their second of the top 10 embarrassing parent moments was indeed dancing around the house like a person possessed. Of course, they might actually be possessed. It could need an exorcism.
I don't know where you're going with this. I mean, have you got kids, Alex?
Actually, I don't, Jason. So, you know, I have to say I'm coming to this from an objective viewpoint as far as possible.
Yeah. Parenting is the thing is, you just don't notice, and suddenly you start doing these things and you go, well, why? Where has this come from? And the other thing this survey's thrown up as well, and this was a startling revelation for me personally, is how something like 39% regularly pay out £5 per chore. And I'm like, all I'm doing is giving, well, I still call it pocket money. I'm just throwing money at my kids, and then they just leave a mess lying around anyway. Mm. So, it's actually, there's so many things that a survey like this produces, and it forces you to sort of think, well, I'm actually doing a decent job. The other thing as well, of course, is this Taximeter app, which is great fun, I have to say, and people can download that from the App Store, Google Play, Android, all those places that you go for these things now. And yeah, the thing that really appealed to me about this survey and about this little app is the standard complaint of a parent is that you spend a lot of time, especially as your kids get a bit older, ferrying them around, whether it's rugby, cricket, going to see friends, whatever it might be. And it equates to something like 2,500 miles per year. And you do the maths on that, you know, whatever a taxi costs in whatever region you're in. I don't know how much it is up in Lincolnshire there, but it adds up to quite a lot of money.
Absolutely. I mean, we're looking at conceivably around about an additional £520 a year, which could be at least. And now some of those other areas, telling bad jokes coming in at number one. I mean, obviously, humour is in the ear of the beholder, or eye of the beholder, perhaps. So, you know, I mean, one person's bad joke can be another person's hilarious moment, surely.
No. Sorry. Got to stop you on that one. All my jokes are officially bad, according to my offspring.
Fair enough.
And indeed my wife, for that matter. My friends, actually. I'm just not very good at jokes.
And using saliva to wipe kids' faces. I thought that was a traditional way in which human beings have existed throughout the centuries,
terrible, terrible thing to...
It's what wet wipes were invented for, let's face it. Clearly.
Well, it reminds me of my grandmother, you know, it's like, oh, come here, son, you know, it's no. Basically... Anything you do as a parent is officially bad. And my daughter is 12, going on, I don't know, 19. Anyone who's listening who has kids in that phase of life will be nodding in recognition, I'm sure. You just arrive at this point, seemingly out of nowhere, where everything you do is wrong. And this survey is nicely kind of tabulated up.
I mean, clearly, showing friends embarrassing photos of their kids, not good, particularly with respect to Facebook. You can actually make it out public for the whole world to see, really, with social networking sites. Even worse.
Yep.
But in terms of telling cringeworthy stories, yes, I can appreciate that. I was fascinated by busting out funny moves at family events. Again, could well be an illness.
I'll point you. You've already mentioned the comedy titan, Ricky Gervais. I think that dance, anything like, again... Anything. And I will be honest here, I can't dance to save my life. So, Jason,
you're ideally suited to do the robot. I mean, a classic for its own routine. Just swing the arms in a sort of odd direction.
Yeah, that one I remember. I remember that. Tomorrow's World. And you're right. I am that fifth member of Kraftwerk.
Well, there you have it. From your own point of view, anything on the list that doesn't necessarily sort of jibe with you as good self? Or would you say, no, all the top 10 ones would definitely be things that you've experienced or indeed are experiencing?
Yeah, on a daily basis. Yeah, no, they're all there. I read when I was going through the information. I went, definitely, yeah. There isn't anything on there. I mean, again, you've talked about social media. The world is changing so fast, and kids either sort of between any age really, but you know, when they get to kind of 10, between 10 and 15. They are a living, breathing barometer of how out of touch a grown-up can suddenly become. The one that kind of got me, as well as busting a move, silly dancing, moaning about the top 40, trying to get down with your kids in terms of using the tech speak or abbreviations or whatever, my advice to anyone listening is do not even attempt that.
I suppose the good thing is that in 20 years' time, the children will actually have a similar experience and they'll be saying, Twitter, oh my Lord, the parents using Twitter. It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Everything will be beamed directly into their cerebral cortex by that point, you see, so...
And that's what makes you the ace editor-at-large for BBC Top Gear magazine and contributing editor for GQ magazine. It's that style that you can actually just focus on in all sorts of ways. Jason, a final reminder in terms of how people can get hold of this particular app?
Sure, yeah. Well, it's the Allianz Taxi Meter. As I said, it's an app, so it's from the App Store, iTunes, Google Play, Android, whatever particular mobile device you favour. It's dead simple. I am not I'm tech phobic in many ways, but this was easy to download. It's so easy to use, and it's very funny. When you do start, I tried it a couple of days ago. I've been using it for the last two or three days, in fact, and it is quite amusing. And you can just point the display and into your kid's face and go, look, this is how much money you're costing me. Now go and do the washing up.
Well, just as when you're President of the United States, you never actually become a former President of the United States. You're always referred to as Mr. President. I think you will always be Top Gear presenter Jason Barlow. Two final critical questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? And not too embarrassing, we trust, Jason.
No, I've just been dancing around the studio while I've been talking to you, to be honest.
With Rosie and Rachel's doing their business there. I mean,
they're marvellous.
Exactly. It's just wonders upon wonders, really. So can we look forward to connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of matters to deal with embarrassing parents and, of course, style issues across the base?
Delighted to help anytime.
Now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend who is William Sitwell.
Last Friday, of course, we find ourselves in the sheer joy of, oh, tinkling pianos. Wonderful. I'm very impressed as the magic comes through. As you'd expect from somebody who is connected with Dame Edith Sitwell, a sitter in 56 portraits, and indeed the sister of the writers Sacheverell and Osbert Sitwell. First volume of poems, The Mother, was published in 1915, and in collaboration with Osbert Sitwell, Edith wrote 20th Century Harlequinade in 1916. Just some of the little fascinating details that come across from the precursor in wonderful cosmic terms to the genius that is William Sitwell. Good morning, William.
Try and say her younger brother's name again.
Ah, yes. Well, I thought you might catch you on this particular one. Is it Sacheverell?
Sacheverell.
Sacheverell. You see, thank you. It's like maudlin.
Because there was a baronetcy, well, still is in the family, he was Sir Sacheverell, and it was privatised to call him Sir Sacheverell Sitwell.
Sacheverell. We will put that into the list of Beaver Castle or Belvoir. One of the two things. Yeah. Tomato, tomato. Anyway, clearly, when we went down to the National Portrait Gallery last Friday, the mission was unambiguous. You'd made it quite clear on Thursday's piece, William, you wanted us to track down the portraits of Edith and Osbert. And we attempted to do so, but unfortunately they're not on public display because there's so many portraits that there was a bit of an apologia that you can actually hear if you listen to the podcast.
You didn't look very carefully because there's two sculptures and you can't avoid them.
Oh.
There's one of Osbert and there's one of Edith. There are two busts. So you obviously didn't have your eyes open.
There is a huge gold bust by a man called
Dobson.
Room 31 at the National Portrait Gallery, we have Maurice Lambert's aluminium head of Edith Sitwell, which is quite really.
Yep, and by Dobson. Of Osbert Sitwell.
You're quite
and they're
right.
Amongst the sort of mid-20th century writers.
And this is one of the reasons why clearly we were looking for portraits, we were looking to check those out, and we did speak obviously to Neil Evans, who is the ace public relations person who assisted us in kind of wandering through the whole thing, and even he hadn't picked up on that one, so best not let Neil know. I mean, he did a cracking job, but you know, you forgot about the actual busts.
I'm interested that you said there's some stuff stashed away behind the scenes. I must go and have a look.
I mean, when I say stashed, of course, I'm simply sort of echoing the thoughts really of Neil Evans when he said that, because I mean, you can blame Audrey Hepburn, okay, you know, big Audrey Hepburn exhibition at the National Portrait Gallery, and of course the BP exhibition that's actually there, so sometimes they just have to move things. You must find the same with respect to all the goodness you actually have to squeeze into every edition of the Waitrose magazine, to find that sometimes you just have to, it's so much, otherwise, you know, that it would be over-egging the pudding, to use a culinary phrase.
It is hard, actually. I mean, one has to edit. We have to edit our lives. We've got to edit our magazines. You need to edit your radio show. There are some people who you probably think shouldn't be on your show. That's basic.
And you can usually tell, the code being we don't ask those last two questions at the end of the piece. But there we are. Enough said. It has happened to one person already today. But still, never mind. Life continues.
Anyway, I'll tell you what I'm grappling with this week. I've just written a piece for a magazine called Boysdale Life, and this piece may appear in the Telegraph at the weekend, all about wine snobbery and growing old and becoming a wine snob and not knowing and not being able to cope with it.
Uh-huh.
You know, the fact that, you know, you are unfortunately exposed to too much good wine,
mm-hmm.
and you realise that unless you pay, gosh, almost £7, you're not mm-hmm. really spending actual money on the wine. Mm-hmm. You're paying tax, distribution, bottling. And it's not really until you start spending about £12 that you actually get any decent stuff.
Mm.
And this is a big problem because, I don't know, I mean, I can't afford it. I can't afford my wine snobbery habit. You must face this issue in Lincoln.
Personally, it doesn't really impact on my own experience in the social milieu, but yeah, I can see it being a challenge, certainly. I mean, you know, there's only so many times when you can actually look at budget supermarkets and say, well, really, will I really go down that line? It's a tough call.
And the problem is, when you're, you know, if your palate has been opened, if your knowledge has been broadened, if you've met winemakers, if you've had the pleasure of drinking incredible wines. I mean, the big problem I had, I went to this lunch at the Waterside Inn, which is this phenomenal restaurant, 30 years, 3 Michelin stars, but fantastic wines. And after the lunch, a few friends of mine, we went up the road to one of Heston Blumenthal's pubs, a place called The Crown, where at £40 a bottle, we ordered wine. And quite frankly, you know, we could have been drinking something that came out of the back of a weasel.
Ah, yes, well, the old weasel wine is not really good, and we wouldn't recommend it in any way, shape or form. It goes down that list of embarrassing parental habits we were talking about recently with Jason Barlow, who apparently, in fourth position, parents still actually use saliva to wipe kids' faces.
Well... Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, very nice. You know, and they probably drink weasel wine as well. But still, it's a, it could be a whole new brand we could actually open up as a sort of budget scenario. What else is happening in the world of William Sitwell?
Well, I'm working at home today, actually, trying to write my new book, which I'm about halfway through, 45,000 words. Mm-hmm. I've got to spend the day tomorrow at the Bodleian Library digging through Lord Wilton's diaries. He was the great minister for food during the Second World War. And my book's all about how he... got the food into the country and how he fed Britain, how he clung on to his job, a businessman in government. You know, he was not very popular with Churchill and his cabinet colleagues, and I've found all his unpublished diaries, so I'm sort of wading my way through that, and I'll do bits and pieces to do with my other jobs, and et cetera, and then keep an eye on the children. So I'm balancing, juggling.
But don't tell them bad jokes or dance around the house like a person possessed.
Okay,
otherwise,
fine,
it'll
and I might occasionally have to sit in front of the piano and sort of do... something like that.
Very, very good. You see, clearly, an evening of music and magic with William Sitwell, I can already see it replacing an audience with as a classic line. And clearly, you've the genetics of Dame Edith Sitwell coming through this, because editor of Wheels between 1916 and 21, she encouraged modernist writers, and Facade, a poem set to William Walton's music, established the Sitwells as a cultural phenomenon.
Facade was amazing. Facade was her experiments really with language. She was a very musical woman, and she could have actually been a great pianist, but Facade was the result of her experiments with language and metaphors and assonances and dissonances and the effect of words, rather more than their actual meaning, when she sort of strung words together and, you know, very rhythmically. And
was she an early rap artist then, William?
That's exactly. She was an early white rapper.
There
you are. Come to the drum at a Babylon, hobby horses foam, the dumb scudder and utter of sclum. Watch the courses of the breakers, rocking horses, and the glorious Lady Venus on the settee of the horsehair sea, and that kind of stuff.
And people thought
white
it
rap
was
from the 1920s.
People thought it was Deborah Harry and The Tide Is High. Obviously incorrect. You know, it's nothing to do with that. It's Edith Sitwell. She am on the case, man.
That's right.
Sorry, I was obviously getting into a vernacular pose there. Clearly ahead of our return to the roller disco, which makes a return to Lincoln after a gap of 30 years. I just thought you'd appreciate this, as I know you love Tales from Our Little Village up here. Roller Skates in the Roller Disco featuring Bella Kinetica are back at the Lincoln Drill Hall after a gap of 30 English years.
Very good. Can you play a song for me?
I did have Lilac Wine and Elkie Brooks lined up, but obviously that's not necessarily going to be...
No, can you play the Power of Love? The cover version that was on the John Lewis advert by what's her name, that young girl.
Yes. So you don't want the Frankie of Hollywood original classic. You don't want Huey Lewis and the News and the Power of Love, which is completely different.
No.
I suspect you're looking for Gabrielle Aplin and
that's
the
one,
Power
the one,
of Love.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's
I
think that would work well. I take it you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning.
Very nice to teach you from Plumpton.
But there we are, and we look forward to welcoming you again next week.
Absolutely, I'll see you.
Dreams are like angels, they keep at bay. Love is the light scared darkness away. I'm stuck with tons of fire. Purge the soul, make love your goal.
Lincolnshire One venues, and more importantly, the fabulous world of the Young People's Programme is something we've spoken about before, and we're delighted to welcome back to the Siren Studios the coordinator extraordinaire, to be precise, actually, project worker, that is Alice White. Alice, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. And you've brought not one, not two, not three, four fabulous, a quartet of quality have been brought to the studio. Would you like to introduce these fine folk and also explain why they're joining us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
Okay, so these fine folk are some of my fretless group, which meet every Tuesday at Lincoln Drill Hall. They're a young producing group between the ages of 14 and 18. And they produce artistic events that take place at the Drill Hall. They're predominantly interested in, well, I'll let them explain, but
let's do the introductions. Let's start off with the person closest to yourself and near the microphone at this stage. Who's this?
I'm Carolina.
Carolina and?
Scarlett.
Scarlett and?
Katie
and?
Kiel.
All right, okay. Katie and Kiel, we'll obviously sort of work through and move other microphones through. So, talk to us about, obviously, this is putting into practice what we spoke about on the last thing, actually young people is getting involved with the actual production of things. Scarlett, let's come to you first. What sort of things have you been doing?
Well, at the moment, we're working towards a roller disco event, which is happening this Saturday. But previously, we've done music events, which have happened in the auditorium, and sometimes we have smaller acoustic events in the cafe bar. So we have a marmalade session at the first Tuesday of every month, where we have people come along and bring their instruments and kind of have an open mic.
Now, you mentioned there one of the important things, because in the past, obviously, we've had our very own roller derby program that was sort of on a sort of bi-weekly basis. We used to feature that. This is roller disco featuring Bella Kinetica. Roller skates back at the Drill Hall after 30 years. That's actually longer than any of you guys have actually been born. So it's, you know, before you were actually born. Kiela, let's turn to yourself and move the microphone sort of way over to yourself from that point of view. When the sort of suggestion came of putting forward a roller disco, do you think, how frightfully 1970s?
Sorry?
When the suggestion came forward of developing a roller disco, what was your thought?
I thought, yay. Like, this is going to be great. We're going to have so much fun. Like, also, most of us don't really actually know how to roller skate that well, yeah. So we're going to have loads of fun just as much as everyone else.
Well, that's clear. I mean, Alice, back to yourself from this one. I mean, health and safety alone surely is.
I know. Yeah, I haven't had nightmares yet, but I'm getting close to it. So, intense planning required for this one. We had a long meeting yesterday and we were just kind of rethinking all the logistics of getting the roller skates through the door, like how people get them on without hitting each other in the face, and just making sure we've got a thorough risk assessment and thought of every eventuality.
The circus duo that are Bella Kinetica were originally formed in 2008, a world-class act. They specialise in aerial and roller skating, jumping and all sorts of things. In terms of this whole sort of sequence, we've got half of them there on Saturday.
Yes,
and
we
then
do.
They'll be together in full force later on in the year on Saturday the 28th of November.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, looking at that whole sort of fact, let's go to Scarlett again from that perspective. What were your thoughts in terms of the roller disco? Because as I say, there's certain times, those of us who were around in the 1980s, the kind of roller disco was a kind of natural sort of thing. And roller skating's always been popular, but why did you kind of go for this?
I think because there is that history at the Drill Hall, it sort of made sense for that to be something that we take an interest in. I mean, young people take an interest in the 80s. Young people can take an interest in whatever they want to take an interest in. And I think it was something very different from what we normally did. We're normally based around music events. And so having a roller disco was something that had never been tied with our name at all. And because we've just changed our name, we used to be called Younker, now we're called Fretless. It was sort of a way to show that we're going to try new things.
So why Fretless? Let's come to your colleague there. Why Fretless?
I'm not actually entirely sure. It was Scarlett's decision.
Combined decision.
Okay. I'm just sort of thinking, as a name itself, did you sort of think, oh, we'll call ourselves Fretless?
It was long deliberation, wasn't it? I think we had many meetings. Probably five sessions, because I think for a while the group weren't too keen on the old name. And because obviously with a lot of our groups, they go through regeneration and people come and go. A lot of these guys have been with the group for quite a while and they really pride themselves in that. But I think they kind of needed their own new identity. And I think with the interest in... I think it did come from Scarlett, but I think with the interest in music, it was... Oh,
Oh, Kiel wants to input.
Come on, Kiel, go on, say your piece.
Yeah, like, with the name, like, it was, like, I mean, Scarlett also thought about it, but, like, everyone else that was there, we thought about it together, but we thought that Fretless would be really cool because we do a lot of music events and frets on a guitar, and then it was, like, without frets, you have, like, no boundaries, so you can do, like, out-of-tune notes and really in-tune notes. You can do any kind of music you want without frets, and we thought Fretless is, like no boundaries. And then at the same time, it also sounds like having no fear, Fretless. Mm. So we thought it kind of just sounded really cool, and it made sense for us.
Makes perfect sense. And, of course, you do have the requisite Facebook page. Would you like to talk about the Facebook page?
Yeah, we sort of advertise all our events on there, try and keep it updated.
Again, you know, it works out. Obviously, as far as this coming Saturday is concerned, you can also go to the LincolnDrillHall.com website. Simon Hollingworth, I think, very excited when he actually saw those quotes saying we're thrilled that roller skates are coming back to the Drill Hall, and even more delighted that this idea has come from our young producers group, Fretless. So great stuff. I mean, you set the bar at this particular level. I mean, after this, where do we go, guys? What's the next little thing that's in mind? Is it a case of, no, you just come Sunday, you'll just effectively lie down?
I think there'll be a lie down, and I think we haven't got our next event planned yet, have we?
We're getting back into Marmalade sessions again, which are the open mic events that we have, to sort of stop those during exam season. So we'll be getting those running up again, and that will go out on the Facebook page and on the Twitter account.
So, Scarlett, share with us, where can people access you on Facebook? What's the best way to actually access you, and the details to find out more about this?
Okay, so on Facebook, it's just at facebook.com/fretless and then LDH. Twitter, the @ is fretlessLDH, and then you can find stuff about us on the Lincoln Drill Hall website.
Makes perfect sense. Alice, back to yourself again. The Lincolnshire One Venues Young People's Bursary 2015. Something you're keen to obviously sort of mention at this point. If you're part of Lincolnshire One Venues' ongoing commitment to both supporting local arts practitioners and young people as producers, artists and entrepreneurs, would you like to go through why this is a really exciting thing for people who are aged 16 plus, who could be individuals, groups or indeed organisations and companies, as long as they have a strong link to Lincolnshire?
Yeah, so it's a new, really exciting opportunity that we're delivering with our next phase of funding, where young people or kind of emerging artists / companies / whatever you are kind of thing with an interest in arts in Lincolnshire can apply for £1,000 bursary. We're releasing 5 every year. The first deadline is coming up on the 31st of July, next Friday. And we're really looking for young people, or as I said, emerging companies with an interest in the arts for young people, to help them develop work and hopefully offer a kind of mentorship opportunity in which that they can come and show work or produce some kind of event or workshops within one of our venues within the network. And it's this first round is the pilot, really. We've never done it before, so it's really exciting to think what kind of ideas might come around and how we can help develop that over the next year and hopefully build up relationships that will last a good long time, which promotes the arts in Lincolnshire, really.
I mean, that is really much at the heart of what we spoke about previously and what we're saying consistently from this point of view. It's a wonderful way of maintaining that. I mean, I'm already thinking, will you be working together after this? I mean, or have you had enough of each other? Will you say, that's it? You know, or yes, we want to sort of formulate the next Little Mix, for instance. On roller skates.
On roller skates.
Who wants to take that? Let's go to yourself.
I think, personally, we can't wait to think of a new wacky thing to do together.
Well, I mean, that says it all. I mean, Alice, obviously, is sort of slightly worried about that response, but will work well.
No, I'd be really pleased with these guys because, as Scarlett said earlier, they do have strong interest in music, and I think this time they've not necessarily played it safe and they've tried to push themselves. And, you know, this idea came from them. And that's all, you know, that's what we're all about, what love's all about. And actually, when we spoke to Simon, who has been a massive support for these guys, who's sadly leaving, we said goodbye to him. At
Simon
the
Hollingworth
program
leaving the drill hall. Oh,
yeah,
no.
I know. So when we spoke to him about it, he suddenly said, "Oh, did you realise, you know, these roller discos did happen back in the 80s? And we didn't realise actually at the time. Or was it you? Was it Scarlett who realised? But anyway, we found these YouTube videos and we have tried to contact the person. So if you're out there and if you're listening, then please speak to us on the Fretless Facebook page, because it would be great to kind of get your perspective and kind of generate stories from that time, really.
It's probably the original sort of answer to Fretless and more, really.
Yeah.
Okay, so Alice, what's the best way forward if people are still listening to this and they're thinking, oh, yes, okay, this is exciting. How can we get involved with Lincolnshire One Venues?
You can visit our Lincolnshire One Venues website to find out more information. It gives you a general overview of what we're about and some of our groups' information, and the bursary information and application process is all up there. You can email me, alice@lincolnshireonevenues.com. I'm happy to talk to people and meet with people if it's appropriate. And you want to find out more about particular groups, we've got groups all over the county that run similarly to Fretless. But
making
we're always
the arts in Lincolnshire more exciting, unique and accessible to all.
Yes, that with the aim. With that's the aim, hopefully. I think we're doing it.
So let's just give a mark out of 10. We'll take everybody here at this particular stage. Marks out of 10 for your experience as young producers with the Lincolnshire One Venues scenario. Let's start off with the lady in the corner. Yes.
10.
10, okay. And?
Definitely 10.
Definitely 10. Scarlett?
This one goes to 11.
Oh. Ooh. She's put it up one more than that whole
other
thing.
Later.
And?
I'll go for 10.
Says it all. Anything else you want to mention, Alice, before we sort of wrap up this little stage of phase two of the Lincolnshire One Venues package?
Well, I would say, again, it's also... you can get involved in more than one group, because I'm just thinking about these guys here. Three of them are involved in multiple groups, in the Usher and Creators group as well. So if you want to find artiness, or if you haven't found it yet and you want to get involved, then please join us.
Seek out the inner artiness on your good self.
Yes.
In yourself, and it will manifest. Once again, LincolnshireOneVenues.com. Alice, brief to the point, and I mean, I feel almost as though the team need to come back wearing roller skates next time.
Yeah!